Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and there are many more podcasts for this and all our other faith radio shows available on our website. You can just go to myfaithradio.com. And thanks so much for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
He's a psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
Well, good morning and welcome. How can you explain the Christian faith to an atheist or an agnostic or somebody who could simply care less? Well, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to one of the nation's premier Christian worldview experts, who has put together a pretty incredible conference with some top-notch speakers who will help you understand, first of all, what the Christian worldview is and how you can defend it, and then really how you can share your faith more effectively with so many people in your sphere of influence who probably really haven't thought much about Christianity or maybe think it has nothing to offer them. His name is Alex McFarland, and he'll be here in just a few minutes here on the Faith Radio Network, so stick around. First of all, a couple of items for parents of teenagers. This one really troubled me. I found this week. Forget about Coke and coffee. A lot of parents, you know, worry about their kids getting too much caffeine. Could your kids be trying to get high on powdered caffeine? The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has sent a warning letter out to companies that are making this stuff, pure powdered caffeine. It is a substance that can be misused, especially by teenagers, because it is extremely powerful. Get this, a teaspoon of caffeine powder is equal to about 28 cups of coffee, and a tablespoon of this stuff can kill you. I was looking at some of the stats. Because it's so concentrated, if you buy a little package of this, which you can get online very easily, by the way, mom and dad, your teenager can, they've got access to a credit card, they can order some of this stuff, and they tend to mix it with drinks and then try to get, you know, a buzz off of it. But a 3.5 ounce of this stuff has as much caffeine as 400 tall cups of Starbucks coffee, 1,200 cans of Red Bull, or 3,000 cans of Coke. Can you imagine that? In one of those little packages. Last year, two otherwise healthy young men died after using too much of this stuff, which now has caused the FDA to put out this warning. The agency says this powder is potentially dangerous. It presents a significant, unreasonable risk of illness or injury. That's government speak for it could kill your kid. The FDA points out that because of the potency, safe amounts of pure caffeine are very small and hard to measure. In fact, if you go to the FDA website, they say the difference between a safe amount and a toxic dose in pure powdered caffeine is very, very small. And they say it requires a precise scale. Too much can lead to a rapid or dangerously erratic heartbeat, seizures, and death. Man, if that doesn't scare you. And again, your kid can get this online. They can probably get it from a friend at their middle school or their high school because this stuff's going around. Powdered caffeine, and they'll often put it in another highly caffeinated drink, like they'll mix it in with some Red Bull or some, or even just, you know, something innocent like Gatorade or Powerade, and maybe even give it to a friend. Hey, try this. It'll make you feel really good. Well, it'll make you feel really dead if you have too much of it. So, mom and dad, talk to your kids. I hammer on this all the time. Have these conversations. Have the conversations about drugs, about alcohol, about sexuality, about powdered caffeine, about synthetic marijuana, because it's going around. And so many Christian parents, unfortunately, are just kind of in the dark, kind of have their blinders on. Well, my kid goes to youth group, and they'd never do something like that. Well, you might be surprised. And you might be surprised their friends are doing it. Even their Christian friends are doing it. And they might pass along something to your child. And they might try it. And the first time they try it, it might kill them. So, lesson to all of us. Have the conversations and have them early. In fact, have a conversation about alcohol early. How early? New report out from the American Academy of Pediatrics recommending that parents should start talking to their kids about alcohol by the age of 9. 9! Now, the reason they're suggesting this is they're trying to prevent binge drinking in young people. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, as many as 50% of high school students currently drink alcohol. Yes, you heard right. In every classroom, if we divided it right down the middle, half of the kids are drinking alcohol, and they've had it within the last 30 days. And within that group of the drinkers, 60% binge drink. That's sitting down and having 4 or 5 alcoholic beverages in a short period of time. And here's what's really scary. 12 to 14-year-olds are drinking, and about half of them are binge drinkers. You heard right, 12 to 14-year-old children. Now, Dr. Lorena Siscara, who is the co-author of this report from the American Academy of Pediatrics, says there's a really good reason for starting the conversation about booze by the age of 9. She says, by that time, kids are already starting to develop impressions about alcohol. And you know why? Because of the positive way alcohol is portrayed in TV shows and movies and commercials. Boy, think, you know, even if your kid doesn't watch primetime TV, maybe, you know, like our family, we don't watch primetime, but we sit down and watch a lot of football on Sundays. I'll be honest, I'm kind of an NFL fan, but some of the commercials that come on for beer and other alcoholic beverages, boy, they make it look really attractive. You know, if you drink that stuff, you're going to be popular. You're going to be the man about town. You're going to get the girls. You're going to get the cheerleaders. And so kids are already forming their opinions, especially boys, by the age of 9. That's why you got to be having these conversations. And the AAP says that binge drinking is particularly dangerous for teenagers. They often turn to vodka, and they tend to drink it very fast, often directly from the bottle, because their goal is to get drunk as quickly as possible. What they don't know is this can kill them. It's called alcohol poisoning. That's because our liver can only process so much alcohol at a time. And if they drink too much, especially something like vodka, they're going to kill themselves. Man, if you want some great advice on how to talk to your kids about some of this stuff, the American Academy of Pediatrics has a website that's designed especially for moms and dads, and it's called healthychildren.org. Just all one word, healthychildren.org. If you go to that site, you can put words like alcohol or synthetic marijuana in the search engine. It will pop up. It will give you all the info you need to know, and it will tell you how to talk to your kids about these things. So I'm going to keep hammering on this, mom and dad, because there's just way too many Christian parents that are in the dark, and there are way too many Christian kids that are involved in this stuff, and it's hurting them, and in some cases, it's killing them. Well, it's 11:15. I'm Bill Meyer, and this is the Faith Radio Network. My friend Alex McFarland coming up next. You've heard him a lot on Austin Hill in the Morning here on Faith Radio. He's going to tell us about this amazing conference that he has organized, which is coming up next weekend, and what we can learn from this conference and some of the speakers about defending the Christian worldview in America. That's up next here on the Faith Radio Network.
Continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
Hey, I'm excited because we are just 10 days away from our Full Share event. This is so cool. If you've never joined us for Share here, on Faith Radio. It's a pledge drive, and we're going to be asking you to prayerfully partner with this ministry to help Faith Radio connect faith to life here in the Upper Midwest and around the world through the Internet. And maybe in the next 10 days, you could start praying about it. If you're a regular Faith Radio listener, even if you're new to this ministry, but it's helped you in some way. It's helped you grow in your faith, deepen your relationship with God, become more effective in sharing your faith, maybe helped you with some life issues that you've gone through. Pray about how God might be leading you to help keep Faith Radio on the air, changing lives through relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching. That's what we do here every day on Faith Radio. And your support during Fall Share will make all the difference. Again, it starts on September 22nd, just 10 days away. It's 17 minutes past the hour. I'm Bill Meyer, and my guest is Alex McFarland. He is the Director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also the host of the Explore the Word radio program. Alex is a regular guest on a bunch of those talking head shows, Fox News Live, Spirited Debate. He's been on Fox and Friends, a national morning show. He's been interviewed by hundreds of media outlets, and man, he's real good at defending the Christian worldview. He's the author of many books. I'm just going to name a few of them because he's so prolific. 10 Answers for Skeptics, Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith, The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity and How to Answer Them Effectively. I could go on and on. He's also a regular guest on Austin Hill in the Morning here on Faith Radio. And Alex, welcome to Faith Radio.
Well, Bill, thank you so much. I'm a big fan of Bill Meyer, too, so it's really great to be on.
Now, we should actually we should tell our listeners that a long time ago, way back when, you and I actually worked together at Focus on the Family for a period of time, and
we did, yeah.
Just loved what you did when you were at Focus and love what you've been doing since then. And Alex, I listen to you quite often on Austin's talk show in the morning, and I learn something every time you guys get into a discussion. So first of all, thank you for your commitment to God's truth. And secondly, thanks for putting together this very cool conference next weekend.
Well, hey, thank you for having me on, and thank you for your interest in the things that the Lord has called me to do. I got to say a big, big thumbs up for the Faith Radio Network, really, not only yourself and the Bill Meyer Show, but Austin Hill in the Morning. It's been a privilege in the last year to cultivate a friendship with Austin Hill, and I've been on his show. He's been on my show, and he'll be at Truth for a New Generation broadcasting live. He'll be one of our speakers as well. And, you know, I'm just so pumped about what Faith Radio Network is doing. I do hope your share time goes well in the next little bit. Because, see, Bill, I travel, I speak, I do debates at colleges. I'm this year, and I give God the glory, but I've been in 19 states this year to speak and got about six more to go. But everywhere I go, I meet people who either came to the Lord through Christian radio or maybe came back to the Lord through Christian radio. So what you're doing is very vital, and it is bearing fruit.
Well, thank you. We believe so strongly in this ministry, and the people that work here feel called to that, Alex. So
yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Now, the conference next weekend is something that you actually organized several years ago. It's called Truth for a New Generation. It's happening in Spartanburg, South Carolina at the First Baptist Church there. You've got some top-notch speakers. Let me ask you, what's the history of this? How did you first get this thing going and start putting together this roster of all these top names?
Well, I was a youth pastor 24 years ago, and I was really concerned for a lot of my teenagers that, you know, grew up in church, just like you were saying in your opening monologue, kids that are youth groupers, maybe they even went to Christian school, and then they go away to the university, they go away to 4 years of secular state-run college, and they maybe are weakened in their faith or completely walk away from Christ. And so 24 years ago, we started, I prayed about it, and I had this vision for Truth for a New Generation. That was something I felt God put on my heart. And we, the first one of these we ever did, we had like 200 people come out. I will tell you, by the late 90s, there wasn't a lot of, there weren't many apologetics-type worldview conferences. And we did a couple of these where we had like 7,000, 8,000 people come. And it was that, really, we got a little write-up in Christianity Today, and that's what caused H.B. London to call me from Focus. And 12 years ago, went to work at Focus on the Family, largely because of the ripples that were happening from this conference. And as you mentioned, it was our privilege to work together with Dr. Dobson out there. By the way, one of the great Focus on the Family alums that you and I know, Bill, is Dr. Del Tackett. And he'll be at this year's TNG, Truth for a New Generation conference, in a week. So, you know, the thing has grown and grown. This conference is about the 39th one of this type that we've ever organized, but it's for all ages. And it's basically trying to inspire and inform and equip believers to live out the Christian faith in this culture.
Now, for those folks here in our listening area who maybe can't attend the conference, after all, it's just a week away, are any of the resources going to be available online, or will you have any tapes or written materials available after the conference ends?
Sure. We work with a great company called Rhino Technologies, and we've got everything from audio CDs, DVDs, to you can get the whole conference just on a flash drive. And so if you go to the website truthforanewgeneration.com, truthforanewgeneration.com, you can hear all the speakers like Lee Strobel. I know, Bill, you know Lee Strobel as well, who wrote The Case for Christ. I was on the phone with Lee yesterday. Case for Christ, he shared with me, has sold about 9 million copies in the last decade. Amazing. One of the biggest selling Christian books of all time. And what a nice guy, just very accessible. Strobel's going to be there. Todd Starnes from Fox News. J. Warner Wallace. I mean, think about this, Bill. J. Warner Wallace was an L.A. police detective for 30 years. He was an atheist. And he decided to look at Christianity like he would the evidence for a case. And he became convinced that God exists, that Christianity is real, the Bible is true. J. Warner Wallace, people have probably seen him on TV. He's on a lot of these nationally broadcast kind of unsolved mystery shows. But he wrote a book called Cold Case Christianity that is basically his journey as a detective from atheism to a relationship with Christ. And he's going to be there. Dr. Alveda King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., an amazing, I mean, this lady is American history personified, and she loves Jesus. She is going to be speaking. A lot of speakers, but even though it's only a week away, September 18, 19, I mean, there's still time to get to GSP, the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, or we're just about 2 hours from Atlanta, or you can go on the website just by the Monday after the conference, and for your church or your small group, you can get the whole conference electronically. But the bottom line, Bill, my passion is that we see the gospel spread throughout our nation. I mean, that's our hope, is Jesus. And as lives are changed, a nation is changed.
You know, Alex, there are some cultural commentators who believe the Christian worldview is really now held by only a small minority of Americans. As you survey the landscape and you've looked at the research and you've read what Barna has written and you've had your own experiences, you've traveled around the country to different states, do you believe that's true, or do you believe there's kind of a larger number of people that are maybe what we might call Christian-friendly but sort of ignorant?
That's a great question, Bill. That is a really great question. On June 26, when the Supreme Court rendered its decision on gay marriage, like 17 minutes after that hit the wire, I was on the air with Geraldo Rivera, which was an honor. But Geraldo said this, and the inflection in his voice, I'll do my best to emulate that. But he said, you know, Alex, as a Christian conservative, you know, this is a major defeat. And I said, well, yeah, it is a disappointment. And here's what he said. He said, it's over, brother. Turn out the light and go home. He said, you know, we've seen, you know, the Christian conservative movement, and there have been leaders like James Kennedy and Chuck Colson and James Dobson. And Geraldo said, but, you know, Christianity is lost. It's over. And I was listening to him, and I thought, well, here's what I said. I said, you know, the truth has a certain tenacity about it. And I said, Geraldo, we've got prayer, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the Word of God, and it's really not even a fair fight. Today, you know, is a defeat, but Christianity wins in the end. And it really does. I was on the phone a week ago with the RNC, and Chad Connolly, who's the National Director for Faith Engagement for the Republican National Committee, he said this, and this is a mind-blowing statistic. He said if 2% of the people who go to church on Sunday would register to vote and vote godly, and, you know, not naming a candidate or a policy or anything, just be a Christian, be registered to vote, be informed, and vote godly, then Christians could have any election in the nation. The body of Christ is still the largest voting bloc by far.
And unfortunately, often ineffective because they don't show up at the polls or they don't get informed on the issue. So we're going to talk more about that in the coming half hour. My guest is Alex McFarland. He is the director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center in North Greenville University in South Carolina. He's the organizer of this great conference, Truth for a New Generation, coming up next weekend, the 18th and 19th in South Carolina. We'll talk more about that and how you can more effectively share your faith and be a witness in just a bit here on the Faith Radio Network. Stick with us.
Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
Welcome back. I mentioned that just about 10 days from now, our Fall Share event kicks off, September 22nd through the 24th. Did you know you can actually sponsor a full day of broadcasting here on Faith Radio for $100 a month? And you can choose the day, maybe somebody's birthday, maybe your anniversary, maybe the day that you came to Christ. And whatever the reason is for the dedication on your chosen day, we will honor that reason or that person or that event or that ministry of your choosing. You can become a full-day sponsor here on Faith Radio. Learn more about it at myfaithradio.com or a half-day sponsor for just $50 a month. Again, you choose the morning or the afternoon, the reason for the dedication, and we will honor that that person or that event. Something really cool part of Share, which again starts next Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, so about 10 days away. My guest is Alex McFarland. He's the director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center in North Greenville University, Greenville, South Carolina. Alex has been a busy man lately because he organizes a major conference called Truth for a New Generation, which is happening the 18th and 19th in South Carolina. We were talking about some of the guests who will be speaking there. And I have to brag on Austin Hill because I know you invited him to the conference and he's going to be broadcasting from there. But Austin's going to be talking about a unique issue, Alex. He's going to discuss the Bible and economics and contemporary social issues. And then he has a talk called Business, Work, and Our Economy, the Moral Issue We Can No Longer Ignore. That's a real passion of his, and so a very unique perspective on a lot of different issues being offered at this conference. And as you mentioned before, if you can't make it in person, the materials will be available. You can purchase them after the event ends by going to the special website. Mention the website again, if you would.
Sure. TruthForANewGeneration.com. TruthForANewGeneration.com. And, Bill, let me interject this. Somebody listening, you know, we would love to talk with you about bringing TNG to your area. We've done a lot of places like New Haven, Connecticut. We actually did, just before I went to work for Focus on the Family 11, 12 years ago, we did Yale University at New Haven, Connecticut. We've done St. Louis, you know, San Antonio. But I know this is, you know, the planning takes at least a year and a half, 2 years. But, hey, my heartbeat is the gospel in America, and God's allowed me to do a lot of things, apologetics and teaching and writing. But really, Bill, you know, maybe I'm naive and maybe I'm a little childlike. I believe God is not done with the United States of America. I believe that we can still see a great move of God's Spirit. And the Truth for New Generation Conference, I appreciate everybody praying for next Friday, Saturday. But, hey, let's bring it to your town in the years ahead. My own website, which is just simply my name, alexmcfarland.com. There's contact info on there. And, dear listener, if you're an ambitious sort and you say, hey, we want to bring a dozen apologists to our city and let's have a conference and pray to God for a move of His Spirit, hey, let's do T&G in your city.
Yeah, you know, and I have to believe there are many church leaders, perhaps even some senior pastors listening today. And if you are, and this intrigues you, this idea, and you think, you know, I'd like to try to get this in my city. Certainly here in the Twin Cities, there are many major churches that could sponsor this event, but perhaps in your Faith Radio city as well. So check it out, alexmcfarland.com. You can just send Alex an email there and tell him about your interest. Wouldn't that be cool to bring Truth for a New Generation to the Upper Midwest sometime in the next couple of years? Now, with the presidential election coming up, and obviously that's, you know, we're way early in this, and we have certain individuals getting a lot of attention right now.
Sure.
But with the election, will the attendees at the conference, will they learn about how faith and politics intersect? Because I think that's first and foremost for a lot of people right now. There, you know, we've had in the last couple of years a lot of confusion about the separation of church and state. It's caused a lot of Christians and maybe even some pastors to kind of run scared. And partially that's because they don't really know the history. They don't know what the founders really said about this. They don't know what the law says. But how will you be addressing that at the conference coming up next weekend?
Well, a great question. For one thing, I will be debating the president of American Atheists, David Silverman. American Atheists was started years and years ago by Madeline Murray O'Hare, the current president, David Silverman. This guy is an activist. I mean, this guy is dead set on the disconversion of America. And he and I will be debating the topic, America's future, better with or without God. But the Benham brothers, David and Jason Benham, they themselves walked away from a multi-million dollar television deal because they would not recant their position that marriage is between a man and a woman. And it was their dad, it was David and Jason Benham's dad that led Nora McCorvey to Christ from the Roe v. Wade case. And so their whole family has spent four decades in the fight for life, the pro-life movement. Dr. Alveda King, she was at the March on Washington. She was at Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham, Selma. You know, she's going to talk about how her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and his colleague, the great Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, who I hope your listeners will learn about, how they mixed their faith and politics and launched what we know as the Civil Rights Movement. And so another speaker at the conference, live in person, Eric Stackelbeck of CBN News, one of the world's preeminent experts on terrorism and the rise of ISIS and counterterrorism. And we're going to be talking about things like a strong national defense and things like how it's really been liberty and democracy that was brought to the world via the biblical worldview, how this has brought freedom and a better life to millions throughout the world. Todd Starnes, who's going to give us the latest from Washington and the news media front. But, Bill, let me just say this. There is this false dichotomy, an unneeded and really invalid separation of faith and culture. And yet it was faith and the biblical worldview that really led our founding fathers not only to create this nation, but godly leaders throughout our history up until the last 25, 30 years that understood that Christianity was really part of our national DNA. The whole conviction about human rights and the sacredness of life and the God's design for the family, the things that built this into the greatest, most prosperous, at one time safest nation in the world, it was our biblical DNA, which not only is in some places ignored, but now in academia and much of journalism actively fought against. Let me throw a thought out there, and I'd love your response to this. Bill, as I see it, not only my travels, my interactions with people, but my knowledge of history. I mean, we've got two options that lie ahead of us. One is the iron fist of socialism and statism, or the iron sword of Sharia. The vacuum left by Christianity, there's an arm wrestling match for two forces, socialism or Islam, to occupy that space. And really, the only worldview, cultural force that can hold at bay the encroachment of big government or the oppression of an Islamic theocracy, Sharia, the only force that can hold those at bay is Christianity. And so what I say to like a David Silverman, an atheist, I'll say, look, if you don't want to be a Christian, you don't have to be a Christian. But don't erase the worldview that gives you the freedom to safely walk around as a non-believer. You don't want to be a Christian? You don't have to be a Christian. You don't want to be heterosexual? You don't have to be heterosexual. But don't erase and destroy the worldview that gives you the freedom to pursue your life and destiny, even though I happen to think the pursuit of many is very destructive right now. If you want the free America we've had, we can have that. That's good news. Bad news for many is, though, you've got to tolerate a Judeo-Christian worldview.
Now, one of the problems, Alex, and I know you address this on a regular basis, is that we have so many believers, so many evangelicals, who are not engaged. They're not really up on Christian worldview apologetics. They're living their lives. They're often filling it up with things that maybe aren't necessarily that valuable. I think you talked about even about fantasy football on Austin's show a couple weeks ago. But often we tend to major in the minors. And let me just ask you, if you would issue a challenge to particularly to Christian men in this day and age, and some just some practical ways that guys can be involved in, and I'll use the term winning back because I think that's accurate, winning back our culture for Christ. What are some ways that they can start making a difference just in their daily life, in their immediate sphere of influence?
Wow. Well, men, I want to say this. The best thing you can ever do for your children is to love their mother. I believe, as a Christian, I mean, obviously the first call for every human life is to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, Bill, as born-again believers, we need to view all of life in terms of stewardship. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 that we are not our own. And for the adult who's disengaged, the Christian that really doesn't see their life as a chance to make some kind of a contribution to the Great Commission, we need to remember that we're stewards. We're not owners. Even our free time, our spare time, our resources, you know, we pay our tithes and we think, well, you know, the rest of it is mine. Well, everything we really have and everything we are belongs to Jesus. Now, in the hierarchy of calling and duty, for a husband, the calling is to love his wife. For parents, the calling, if you read Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13, the calling is to raise your children in the ways of the Lord. I do think that for any disciple, being a part of a local church is on the disciple's to-do list. And studies show, I think I might have quoted on Austin's show, Cornerstone Magazine, 2 years ago, gave some very compelling data about how when dad takes the children to church regularly and when dad has prayer time with the family and devotions with mom, and men, some of you need to get out of your comfort zone and begin to have quiet time with your wife and get, you know, Our Daily Bread or Open Windows or read Morning and Evening Devotions by Charles Spurgeon. I mean, there are a million great devotional books. You know, Josh McDowell, Bill, our colleague Josh McDowell, wrote an incredible resource, The One-Year Guide to Family Devotions. But, Dad, when you have prayer with your wife, devotions with your family, and you take your kids to church, there is an exponentially higher likelihood that your kids will stay with the stuff once they graduate high school and leave home. So, you know, what I'm saying, Bill, I know it's not easy. I'm just saying it's right. And one day when we stand before the Lord and we hear him say, well done, when, you know, when we set aside all those ancillary things. I mean, hey, I play the guitar, you know, I love to go fishing, you know, I've got a million things that are hobbies and things, but like Paul, I've got to divest myself of the lesser things and invest what I've got in the best thing, and that's Christ and that's family. Bill, let me just say this, and then I know I'm preacher up on a soapbox here. But if you want to save America, you got to save Christianity. If you want to save Christianity, you've got to save the family. As much as I believe in academics, and I'm teaching at two universities right now, and I've got a lot going on. But look, if Jesus said, Alex, name it whatever you want, I'll do it. We might say, oh, you know, give us great preachers and great orators, or, you know, give Billy Graham 30 more years of life, and that would be great. If I could ask the Lord for one thing and one thing only, I would say, dear Jesus, restore the American family. And that is that's the key. And every one of us can play a role in that, can't we?
We can, and that was just such a wonderful challenge to each one of us, Alex. I'm so glad you, you know, we start, a lot of times I think we think, well, what's the big thing we can do? You know, should we join the school board? Should we, you know, try to get on city council? Should we organize rallies? None of those things are bad, but if we neglect the most important things, our personal relationship with Christ, and as you said, our relationship with our wife and with our children, we're missing the boat. And so I'm humbled and blown away by that challenge. So get on that soapbox, brother. I love it. It's 11:47. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer, and my guest is Alex McFarland, who is organizing this great conference coming up next weekend in the South Carolina area. And you can learn more about that at alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. The conference is called Truth for a New Generation. We'll take a quick break and be back with one final segment with Alex up next here on the Faith Radio Network.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
Welcome back. My guest is Alex McFarland, the Director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University, Greenville, South Carolina. He's the organizer of the Truth for a New Generation conference, which is coming up September 18th and 19th in South Carolina. And it'd be great if you could make it, but if you can't, all the materials will be available online after the conference, and you can check out the conference website. It is truthforanewgeneration.com. One long word there, truthforanewgeneration.com. And again, all that material available online with some of these great speakers, including our own Austin Hill from Faith Radio, who Alex is a regular guest on Austin's show. And you mentioned he's going to be actually broadcasting from there, correct?
That's right. I think he's getting in probably next Thursday, and Friday, September 18, he'll be live from the venue, and then Saturday, of course, is sessions all day. But you know, like I say, it's been great to cultivate the friendship with Austin. He is amazing. You know, that guy is really, really smart. And yeah, I've got to tell you, Bill, a lot of times when I'm on his show, I'll be traveling, and maybe I've gotten somewhere at 1 in the morning, and a lot of times I'm on the East Coast, I get up at 6 a.m. to do Austin's show, and I'm barely awake, and I hope that I've actually made sense some of the times that I've been on there.
Because you know, he made perfect sense.
He's a really smart guy. He's a really smart guy.
He's too smart for his own good sometimes. Austin, did you know that Austin was actually the best man in my wedding? So a lot
really?
Of people, yeah, a lot of people don't know that, and we've been friends for gosh 30 something years. So wonderful guy, and have a lot of love and respect for him. And it's good to have you on his show on a regular basis. By the way, Austin's show, if you haven't heard it, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. here on the Faith Radio Network. You can check it out at myfaithradio.com. Okay, Alex, before the break, we were talking about some things specifically men can do, and of course women can do as well, having a dedication to Jesus Christ, being dedicated to their spouse and to their children. The next step, I think, for a lot of Christians is to start learning about apologetics and Christian worldview, because there's a lot of believers who go to church on a regular basis. They get some good teaching on Sunday morning. They may even have daily devotions, and all those things are wonderful. But in this day and age, I don't believe they're enough. What do you think?
Well, you know, Bill, there are some Christian responsibilities that nobody else can do for you. You know, thank God for great pastors, and thank God for, you know, leaders like yourself. But, you know, there are some things that every Christian has the privilege and really the duty to cultivate. I think about every believer needs to know how to pray with power. Every believer needs to learn how to hear from God. Every believer needs to learn how to persevere and be a person of character and tenacity and love people. As I said earlier, I think every believer has to view all of life in terms of stewardship. But one of the things that's on the disciples, you know, job description really is to know what you believe and the reasons why. And, you know, I think about in Colossians 2, it says, don't be taken captive through hollow and vain philosophy, which depends on the tradition of the world rather than the basic principles of Christ. And 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer. So we really do have to take personal ownership for the life of the mind. That might sound kind of lofty and grandiose, but the Bible tells us to renew our mind by feeding on the truth of Christ. And, you know, thank God for pastors and leaders, but we really have to take personal ownership for that ourselves, don't we?
Well, and unfortunately, I think we are somewhat, there's a lot of evangelicals, and I probably have fallen into this camp myself at times. They're good consumers. We may go to a really good church that has great worship music and fantastic teaching, and we go away challenged and inspired, and then we kind of just leave it there. And again, even if we're having daily devotions, even if we're praying on a daily basis, the life of the mind, and you know, the Bible talks about putting on the mind of Christ. And you mentioned the renewing of our mind. And the only way to renew our mind is to be engaging with some of these just, I think, beautiful concepts and ideas. And you talked about getting on your soapbox earlier. One of my soapboxes, Alex, is I constantly challenge evangelical Christians to turn off the TV. If you
Amen.
Look, yeah, you look at the average American home, the television is on, even if nobody's necessarily watching, even if it's just background news. In the average American home, the television is on 49 hours a week, which just, it stuns me. The research shows that parents, American parents, spend an average of 39 minutes a week in meaningful conversations with their kids. Now, hopefully, among evangelicals, it's a much larger number, and hopefully among evangelicals, we're not watching that many hours of television a week, but we watch way too many hours, and the average, you know, I'll be honest, there's a lot of guys I know, they come home after a hard day's work, and they turn on the news, or they turn on ESPN, and they spend a couple of hours just sort of vegging. And I know I'm exhausted after a hard day's of work myself. But first of all, we need to have a family dinner hour when possible. I know that's a struggle for a lot of families, but I believe it's so important, and all the research would back this up. We need to be having those
we need to be having these
family devotions. But then I think each one of us as adults, and then helping our kids to start to learn about how to defend our faith. There's so many great resources out there. You've written a lot of them yourself, Alex, and And Matt, if you just go to alexmcfarland.com and look at Alex's library of resources that will help you defend your faith when you are talking to an atheist or an agnostic or just somebody who frankly doesn't care, and they say, you know, religion doesn't have anything to offer me, Christianity may be fine for you. How do you engage that person? How do you, in a winsome, loving way, how do you convince them of the truth of the gospel? There are so many great resources out there. And Alex, just again, issue a challenge for people. We've just got about 2 minutes left to get some of those resources and to get engaged.
Well, and let me say a big amen to everything that you've said, Bill, but also let me challenge people to read books. I know we read so much content online, but studies have shown, sociologists and psychologists have shown that when you're handling a book and you're physically turning the page, I mean, there's something kind of organic about reading from a book, a real book, and more synapses are firing, and there's greater level of recognition and remembrance. I mean, you'll internalize it, and you'll be able to recall stronger. So build a library, read some good books, and obviously one is the Bible, the Word of God. But, you know, stretch yourself, my friend. You know, read C.S. Lewis. Read G.K. Chesterton. You know, read Francis Schaeffer and the late, great Chuck Colson, and begin to cultivate the Christian mind, because, you know, it's only God's truth that will last. We are just... Do you remember the book back in the 80s? Who was it? The guy that was going to be a Supreme Court judge, and he wrote Slouching Toward Gomorrah. Do you remember
that?
Bork.
Yes.
Robert Bork.
Yep.
Slouching Toward Gomorrah. And he was talking about how we were just watching sitcoms and, you know, bilge that really is turning our minds to mush when, I'll say this and I'll close. Mortimer Adler, who was the editor of the great books of the Western world, and he became a born-again believer before he died. He was editor of Encyclopedia Britannica. He said, it is necessary for all of us to live at the heights of our times. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Great challenge. Alex, thank you so much for your time today. Once again, you can find out more about the conference, truthforanewgeneration.com. It's happening next weekend in South Carolina. Learn more about Alex at alexmcfarland.com. Thank you, brother.
Bill, you're the best. See you soon.
We appreciate you. This is the Faith Radio Network. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the program page for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.